Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. The theme for this morning is making a way. Now, this past few weeks have been somewhat traumatic in the sense that we've experienced a friend who passed away tragically, and I conducted the funeral on Friday, and I think Harry noted that he passed away just a few days, 2 days I think, before his 40th birthday. And he was a young man with a beautiful wife and two beautiful young children. And as I was looking at this whole process and standing there on Friday, and you know, there's so little that you can say to console people when something like that happens to them. I was just thinking, you know, that his wife is experiencing a very tough situation, and I'm sure that she must be wondering if there is a way out of her situation. If God will create a way for her, if he will make a way out of this for her. And I believe that we've all had such a situation where it was difficult for us to see the way beyond the issue that we have experienced at any point in time or at a specific given time. And you know, there are many people in the Bible, in the Word of God, that experience very similar situations. And we think of Abram when he had to offer up his only begotten son, and he had to sacrifice him. And there is Job who lost everything. He lost his children, his wealth, he lost his health. And his situation looked like there was no way out. And there was Esther. Esther, who was in a situation, who feared for the life of an entire nation when Haman convinced the king to kill the entire Jewish nation. And she was sitting in a position where she feared for her nation. And we can continue with Moses and with so many other people, even Yeshua. And all of them were in a situation where it was difficult to see a way out of their situation. So let us just stand for a moment, just look at what Abraham's situation was. And I want to read to you from Genesis 22, verse 9 to 14. And I want you to really take note of what is being said here. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. I just want to tell you something here, that when Abraham laid down his son on the altar, you must remember that this wasn't a tiny small little boy. He carried the firewood for the sacrifice. He was a strong man. So when he laid on the altar, it wasn't because his dad bound him and forced him to be on the altar. No, Isaac did it out of conviction. And Abram stretched forth his hand, and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abram went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abram called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And that word Jehovah Jireh means God will see, but it also means that God will provide. And where there was no way out for Abraham, God provided a way out. And what Abraham is saying here is that Abba Father will make a way where there seems to be no way at all. And Abba Father always makes a way, even when we find it difficult to believe that there can be a way out of our situation. And the way that Father provides is not always the way we would expect it to be, you know, because every time that we pray to the Lord and every time that we ask the Lord to provide a way out of our situation, we've got a picture of what it should be. And we believe we know what the path is or what the way is that God needs to provide for us to get out of this situation. But you know what? The interesting thing is God never provides it the way that we think it should, because He always provides the best way for us. And we sometimes think that the way that we foresee, the way that we've pictured, is the way that it should be, but it isn't always the best way. It is just what we think it should be. And sometimes the way that He provides might be the complete opposite from what we think it could be, or even it could be unthinkable for us. But when we look back, we will always see that His way was always the better way. It was always the best way. And what seemed to be an impossible way out for Abraham, God provided one. But Abraham had to remain absolutely obedient to Abba Father for him to see the way out of his situation. And it isn't an amazing, and he was ready in full obedience to do what God wanted him to do. And then it said, and he opened his eyes, he lifted his head, and he saw the way out that God had provided for him. And we are sometimes so caught up in our situation. And we look at our situation and we look at what is in front of us and this issue is so big we can't see beyond it. Instead of looking up at Father in complete obedience to God, because then we would be able to see the way that He has provided for us. And we sometimes miss the way that He's provided because our eyes are not focused on Him. Our eyes are focused on our problem and our situation. And you know, the Job situation looked even worse. He already lost his children. Abram still had his wealth. Job lost his. Abram had good health. Job lost his. But God made a way out when he stayed true, when Job stayed true to the word of God. It was then that God provided a way out for him. And God made a way for Esther when she committed to prayer and to fasting. And not for her own salvation, but for the salvation of the entire Jewish nation. She didn't care about herself. She cared about what would happen to the nation of Israel. And therefore she prayed and she fasted. And she asked her uncle, who adopted her, Mordecai, to ask everybody to pray and fast with her for 3 days. And God provided a way out for her when she thought there wouldn't be a way out. My question is there a pattern that we have to be aware of to experience God making a way when there seems to be no way out of our situation? And I want to take a look at a few examples in the Word of what we need to do, where we need to be, what is important for us to actually see the way that God has provided for us and for Father to make that way for us out of our situations. And Paul wrote the following in Philippians 2 verse 13 to 15. He says, "For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." In other words, it will be His way that He will provide for you, not your way, but His way that we need to see in all of this. It says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Sure, that's a tough one, Lord, because it's so nice to murmur and to complain about our situations. Just ask the Israelites in the desert. God saved them out of Egypt, and they were unhappy about it. He freed them from slavery, and they murmured about the good old days in Egypt. You know, and what amazes me, we haven't stopped using those words even today. And I sometimes hear when people get together and they talk about their lives today and they talk about what happened in the past and they say, "Oh, those were the good old days. Man, I'm so glad I'm not back in those old days, because that was night. It was darkness in my life back in those days. It wasn't good at all to me." But I'm looking forward to better days that God is going to provide. And that is what Paul is saying here. We should stop doing these things. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless. The sons of God. And you can add there, the sons and the daughters of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And we can call that a crooked and perverse world, because it stretches much further than just the nation. Among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now let me ask you, would it be possible to shine the light of Yeshua, to shine the light of Abba Father, if we keep on murmuring and disputing and complaining about everything? How do we shine His light when we act like that? It is impossible, and therefore Paul says, stop doing this. He's saying that God always makes a way in our situation, but then it is important that we don't complain and argue, and that we stay true to the Word of God, and that we will be a shining light for Yeshua. And we spoke about that two Sundays ago, about your light that is supposed to shine. What is that light? And it's not your light that's shining, it's His light shining through you. That is important for us. And we should continue to be witnesses of Yeshua regardless of the situation. And I want to mention something about Friday's funeral. And before the funeral, Jean's wife sent me a little voice clip that he recorded a few days before he passed away. And in this voice clip, he was saying how he asked people to pray for him and to pray for his situation. And he asked people to pray for him to have more faith. And he says in this voice clip, these are the things that I still want to do. I still want to spend time with my wife and my children. I want to see my children grow old. And then right at the end of that video clip, he says, but today we will praise the Lord. Today we will praise the Lord. And what do we do? Are we always murmuring and complaining? Or are we praising the Lord so that people can see? You see, we have to be followers of Yeshua. And we need to be imitators of His character. And we need to follow His example that He set for us. And we have to become more like Yeshua in thought and in deed and in word. So in everything we do and everything we think and everything we speak needs to speak of Yeshua. Needs to be according to His word. Needs according to be His will. And Abba's word and His Holy Spirit will provide the light that will enable us to see the way that we don't see sometimes. And then we will see the way that Abba has provided, just like Abraham when he looked up. He saw the way that God had provided for him. And we will be able to see that way regarding our situation when we look up to the one who is the one who provides the way out of every single situation for us. We have to ask God to teach us the way we have to follow. And it reminds me of what Yeshua said, not my will, but your will. And we have to do exactly the same thing. It is not our will, but it is His will. Not my will, Lord, your will. And most of the times we find ourselves in situations because we have not followed Abba's way. And we've made the wrong choices. Because we didn't consult and we didn't counsel God before we actually made that choice. But we are quick to say, Lord, we're in trouble. Please help us out of this. But we the ones who caused ourselves to be in that situation, to be in trouble. And it is not for everyone, but in most cases it is. And then Moses came and he wrote something that we should actually pray every day. And I want to read this to you, Exodus 33 verse 13. And this should be our prayer every day when we open our eyes, every morning when we wake up, every evening when we go to bed, we should pray this. And he says, and now, if I have found favor in your eyes, please make me see your ways and let me know you so that I may find favor in your eyes. And isn't that wonderful? Such a simple prayer from Moses. Lord, show me your ways. Show me your ways, Father, and let me know you. And when he talks and he speaks this word, let me know you. This word of knowing is an intimate relationship with God. It is an intimate relationship with him. Knowing everything about him. Knowing his character. Knowing his thoughts. And sometimes we say, but how can we know God's thoughts? Well, you just need to open the Bible. It is that simple. He's given his thoughts to us. And it's not like the thoughts of people. Definitely not. I'll get to that now. And it is through the knowledge of Abba's way, his word, and his and an intimate relationship with him that we will be able to experience the way that he makes for us, the way out of our situations. And how do we gain the knowledge of Father's ways for us? And I often hear people say, you know, I really don't know what God's way is for me. I don't know what God has planned for me in going forward and moving forward. And they're not sure about the way that Father has paved for them. And they're unsure of their purpose. And they're unsure of their destination. And sometimes we all feel that way. But the only way we have to find out is to ask Father. Because Yeshua said in Matthew 7 verse 7 to 8, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For each one that asks receives, and the one that seeks finds, and to the one knocking it will be opened. But do you see, we don't understand God and we don't understand his word because we keep on asking for the wrong things. We're not asking about his ways, we're asking about our ways. We're not asking about his will, but we're asking him to bless our wills. And we're not asking him for what his choice for our lives are, but we want to fit him into our choices that we've already made for our own lives. And we pray out of selfishness instead of really seeking the face of God. In every situation we experience, we should see God's presence, his face, and specifically his counsel. And in Matthew 6 verse 33 it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What does this actually say to us? What does this verse really mean to us? What this is actually saying is that we should seek God's authority and power and his way to rule, because that is what that kingdom word means. Basileia. God's authority. His power. His way to rule. And I just want to remind all of us that we live in his kingdom. He makes the rules, not us. Therefore, we should follow his rules. We should follow his ways. And we should also seek to act in a way that is acceptable to and approved by our Father in the way that we act, in the way that we think, in the way that we feel, in the way that we do everything in our lives. And it should all be to the glory of our Father. And what does it mean to seek? Because it says here, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So what does this word seek mean? It means that we should strive or to crave. I actually want to say we should crave to understand God's ways by thinking, meditating, reasoning, and inquiring everything about Abba Father, about his word, about his instructions, and about his ways, and about his love. For each one of us. That's what we should be seeking. It is not just reading the word, but seeking to understand it and to do it. And why is this so important? Isaiah comes and he provides the answer to this for each one of us. And he says in Isaiah 55 verse 8 to 12, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. I'm so glad it's not. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. And I just want to stop there for a moment. It's a bit comical and it's a bit funny. But somebody once said he kept on praying and asking the Lord to help him or to give him the ability to read people's minds, to read their thoughts. Because he wanted to understand people's thoughts and what they were thinking all the time. He says, then came Facebook and he's so glad God never did that. You see, because God's thoughts, God's ways are much higher than our ways. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What is God saying to us? He says, my thoughts cannot come down to you if I were underneath you. So my thoughts are way above yours. I can see everything. And from my perspective, I can see what is going on. I can see everything that is happening on the earth. And therefore, my plans, my ways are better than anything that you can do in your environment. And it reminds me of Solomon, who was standing in his house or in his castle or whatever he was living in his house. And he was looking down on the street. And he saw this young man walking towards and a woman of ill repute. And in that moment, what he's saying is, I can see what is going to happen. I can see the outcome of this situation. But the young man in that situation couldn't see beyond what he was busy doing. And that is why God says, I can see everything. I know everything that is going to happen. And therefore, I can show you the right way to go. Somebody once told a story, and he said it was like somebody standing on the edge of a building. And he was standing right on the corner of this building, and this building was at the intersection of the roads. And he said on this side, he saw robbery being taking place at a bank, and the robbers are starting to get into their car, and their getaway car was to move in this direction. And he says on this side, there was a police march moving in this direction. And he said, unbeknown to the robbers, they were going to meet the police. And that's sometimes where we are. We're on a road and we're on a way, but we don't see the outcome of that road. We don't see the outcome of our ways. We don't see the outcome of our situation. But God says, I am higher than you are. I know what is good for you. He says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thereto, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Wow. You see, God says that His ways, His thoughts gives life. And he said, what seems impossible for us as human beings will be possible in the kingdom of God, will be possible when we follow His ways. If we understand God's ways and follow them, we would also be able to live and to prosper. But it is important that we live a life of sanctification. And we have to be holy because God is holy and Yeshua is holy. And if we follow Him, we have to do the same thing. We have to be holy, separated unto God. Not part of the world and the ways of the world. David writes in Psalm 51 verse 2 and verse 10 to 12, he says, wash me completely from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me out from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. And how amazing is that? You know, I've heard so many people say that, you know, the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant or the renewed covenant is that we have the Holy Spirit within us and they didn't. Well, there's news for us because David says here, do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. You cannot take something away if you haven't given it to somebody. David had the Holy Spirit of God within him. And that's why we've said, and I think Chuck Misler said it as well, and before him, many years before him, and I forget who the guy's name is that said it before, but he said, nothing in the Old Testament, or nothing in the New Testament is new. It is only true. Because it's been there before. Because God gave us a covenant and then He renewed His covenant with us. And that's the only difference between the two. Nothing has changed. Still the same God. Still the same Holy Spirit. Still the same Holy Spirit within us. And to find a way out of our situation, we have to humble ourselves, confess our sins, and seek to live according to God's righteousness. His righteousness. You know, so many times we think, you know, that, and I've heard people say, you know, good people will go to heaven. But what is the definition of good? The word says nobody is good. Only God is. So what does it mean to be good? We need to ask ourselves, who makes the rules to determine what is good or not? It's only God. And therefore we need to stay true and faithful to the Word of God, to His instructions. That is the only way that we will be allowed to see His ways. And that we will experience His salvation. And in order to live according to our Father's righteousness, we have to fix our eyes on the righteous one, Yeshua, because He is the one that clothes us in righteousness. But then we've got to live the way. In Hebrews 12 verse 1 to 2 it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." So what is he saying? There are so many witnesses of Yeshua. There are so many witnesses that can witness Him. Not of their own things, but witness Him. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And you must remember, in those days, the biggest shame that anybody could go through was to die on a cross. There was nothing more humiliating than to die on a cross. And our Lord and Savior, God, Yeshua, endured the cross, even though He despised the shame. But He endured the cross for you and I. You see, Yeshua is the way when there seems to be no other way. And He was even the way for Abraham when Abraham thought there was no way out of his situation. Remember what we read in Genesis 22? And I want to repeat verse 11 and 12 to you. And it said, "And the angel of Yahweh called to him from the heavens and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Behold me. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the boy, nor do anything to him. For now I know that you are a God-fearer, and you have not withheld your son, your only one." And then he says, "For me." So the angel of the Lord says, "You have not withheld your son from me." So who is he talking about? Who is this angel of the Lord? It is Yeshua, the manifest Word of God speaking to Abraham. And it is not only Yeshua that provides the way, but also the Holy Spirit that intercedes on our behalf. In Romans 8 verse 26 to 27, Paul writes, "Likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will," or we can even say, to the way of God. The Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And therefore, our priorities need to change. It has to be built around God's priorities. And our natural tendencies are to take care of our own issues first. We see that in the way that we prioritize God in our lives. Everything else is more important than God is. Our jobs, our families, our hobbies, our interests, sport, TV, movies, games, and the list goes on and on and on, and you can put anything in there that you want to, but everything is always more important than God. And then when there is any time left, what we do is we try to squeeze God into that available slot. Just to say, I've got a tick mark, you know, I spent some time with God today. It was only 2 minutes, but at least I had 2 minutes for God. You see, it should be the exact opposite. It should be God first, then everything else. And that is why we fail to see the way that God has made for us, and we end up on the wrong path. Andy Stanley had a sermon talking about this, being on the wrong path. And he said the following, he said, the path you are on determines your destination. Not your intention. It is the path that you are on that will determine your destination. And what does it mean for us? In simple terms, I don't want to use Andy's words, I'm just going to use my own words. But in simple terms, it means this. You know, if we decide tomorrow that I want to treat my family and we are going to go to Durban. And we're going to stay at a nice resort. And we're going to have some fun and we're going to just rest for a while. And I load the car and I load my family into the car and we get onto the N1 North. I'm never ever going to be able to get to Durban regardless of what my intention is. I don't care what your intention is. The road that you are on, the road that you are following will determine what your destination is, not your intention. And therefore we need to change our priorities. We fail to see His way because we associate with old Frank Sinatra's little song, I did it my way. I did it my way. Let me tell you, your way is always the wrong way if it's not God's way. And what we should be saying is, I do it His way. Because that is what David's desire was. That is what David's heart was. And he writes in Psalm 25, verse 4 to 5, he says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all the day. You know what's interesting and fascinating to me? We all agree and we all confess that Yeshua is our salvation. He is the only way to salvation. It is only through the blood of Christ that we can be saved. But then we follow our own ways. Then we don't do what He tells us to do. And we go on our own tangent. Our own plans. And when we run into a brick wall, then we call out to the Lord, just like Israel did every time. And we continue to do that. Now, here is the thing. If He is our salvation, we should be saying exactly the same thing that David is saying here. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all. Do you see the word there? All the day. Not that little time slot that I've created for you, God. You know, God, I'm a busy guy. You must remember there are loads of things that I need to do. You've got to wait your time. And God, I've created this little time slot for you. And sometimes I get a little bit busy, so I move your time slot or I cancel it for the day. But I remember that you are my salvation. What are we doing? Why don't we see the way out of our situation? I think it's because we don't spend enough time with God. What is also important is that we need to support one another. There were no lone rangers in the Bible, and therefore we cannot fight on our own. We can't fight alone. Galatians 6 verse 2 says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is Paul saying? He says, we've got to be there for one another. We've got to support one another. We've got to pray for one another. We have to lift one another up out of our situation. Not trample on each other and kick the guy when he's down. You see, in helping one another, it will be easier to see the way that Abba Father is making to provide a way out of our situation. We've got to be there for each other. You see, when there seems to be no way, God will make a way. He offers us wisdom instead of confusion. He provides peace instead of anxiety. He's always with us and He's in control. He's continuously at work in our lives and He provides the way for us to go. Because there is no other way than His way. Now I want to end this morning with a hymn that was written by a guy called William Cooper. William Cooper experienced a terrible time in his life. He experienced things like dementia, deep depression, etc., etc. But God created a way out for William Cooper. And William wrote this hymn. And I want to leave you with these words. He says, God moves in a mysterious way, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan His words in vain. God is His own interpreter and He will make it plain. He will provide the way out of every situation that we can possibly experience. But then we need to get obedient. We need to honor Him. We need to spend time with Him. We need to be in relationship with Him. Because how would we know what God's way is if you and I don't stand in relationship with Abba Father? It is only when we get to know His character, His love for us, His grace, His goodness, His will for our lives, that we will see the way out. And maybe this morning you are sitting in a situation where you think there is no way out for me. But there is. It might not be the way that you think it should be, but I can guarantee you that there is a way out for you. For every one of you. Whether it's a financial crisis, whether it's illness, whether it's depression, whether it's sadness, whether it's the loss of a loved one, whether it's the situation where you think that, how am I going to make it through this day? How am I going to make it through this year? There's always a way out. And that way is Yeshua. He provides the way where we don't see one. Where we believe it's impossible, He's there for us. He sacrificed everything. Everything. So that you and I can live and live abundantly. When He talks about living abundantly, it's not necessarily referring to wealth. It's referring in an abundant life and an abundant experience of that intimate relationship that we can have with Him. And therefore He says in John 10 verse 10, He says, I have come so that you can have life and abundantly. I want to pray for each one of you this morning that God will provide a way out of your situation, regardless of what it is. And if you're in that situation this morning, I want you to bow your hearts with me this morning so that we can ask the Lord to provide a way out for each one of us. And in honoring Father, I want to ask you to do something for me this morning. I want to ask you to stand. Let us stand before the Lord. There are so many places in the Word of God where people stood up when they prayed. And yes, our knees will bow because we will honor Him. But to honor Father, we won't sit down this morning. We will stand up and we will ask Him His way and we will ask Him to show us the right way. So let's bow our hearts this morning before the Lord. Our Father, Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we can know that when we are in a situation where it seems that there is no way out, Father, you are the one that creates that way out for us. And Lord, sometimes we sit in a situation when we look at the problems that we have, we look at what we are in, and we can't seem to think that our problems can be resolved. And sometimes, Father, we have an idea of how this should be resolved, but you've got better ideas for us because your word says that you only want the best for each one of us. And therefore this morning, Father, I pray on behalf of your children, because I am a child of God as well, as we sang earlier this morning. I am a child of God. And because we are your children, Father, I want to come to you and I want to ask you, Father, that you will provide a way out of the situation that the people in this congregation find themselves in this morning. I want to pray, Father, that you will provide a way to resolve financial issues. I want to ask you, Father, that you will provide a way to heal the illnesses that people are experiencing this morning. I want to ask you, Father, that you will come and provide the way of joy for those who are filled with sadness, those who are filled with depression this morning, that you will bring peace and love that we so need. I ask you, Father, that you will provide a way for a loving arm or loving arms just to hold us when we need it the most. As your word says, Father, your spirit will come and your spirit will walk next to us, put his arms around us and comfort us. And therefore I pray, Lord, that your way of comfort will be realized in people's lives this morning. I ask you, Father, and I just feel it in my spirit, that you will provide a way for where families are falling apart this morning, that you will come and restore. That you will come and restore the love for each other. That you will come and restore family life, Father. Father, we're so desperate to experience your love. To experience unconditional love. And I ask you, Father, this morning that you will come and restore unconditional love in our families, for our children, for our wives, for our husbands, for extended families. I pray specifically, Father, for Donna this morning. And in corporate prayer, I want to come and, Lord, I lay down my hand on his heart this morning and I ask you, Father, in the name of Yeshua, that you will provide healing in Donna's heart. Father, that you will guide him, that you will hold his hand, that you will be there for him. And that as family, Father, we will cover him in prayer. We will cover him in prayer this week. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. And thank you, Lord, that you are the one who is the way. You're not the one who makes the way. You are the way. You are the way because you have said to us, I am the truth, the way, the life. Without you, we are nothing. And for that this morning, we want to honor you, Father. We want to praise you. And we ask that you will protect us, cover us with the blood of Yeshua, and guide us, teach us your way, O Lord. We pray that in the name of Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. As we stand, just stay standing, we're going to worship. And then I want you, when we worship this morning, think about God's ways. Think about what we prayed for this morning. And while we are worshiping this morning, let's trust the Lord to provide a way for each one of our situations this morning. And we come now this morning and we honor Him in worship for the way that He's providing already for each one of us. Amen.
Om vir die volle story te vertel. Die dokter wat my gaan opereer is die dokter Ibrahim. So mag hy die wonderwerk ook van Christus.
Amen.
Dinsdag.
Amen. Spreek hier.